I'm going to ask the adults today to be a little patient. I've been thinking for the last more than a year, we've had, since we closed Sunday school, we've had the young people, the children, sitting in the adult class, being very good, very patient. So I thought we could, in turn, maybe do the same thing at least for one day, right? So just sit, behave yourselves. Don't cause a ruckus. Be quiet. Pay attention. Right? All the things we expect of you guys. But I'd like to focus on the children for a little bit, but it's very much an all-ages lesson. But just want to try to have some fun. I need some volunteers. I see two hands real quick. Three hands real quick. Anybody else? How about up here? Any volunteers? It's like the military. You can be volunteered. No? You want to? No? Okay, come on up. You notice that I have some cupcakes here. See, I know how to have fun in Sunday school, right? You bring cupcakes. Do you like cupcakes? I like cupcakes. I like a lot of cupcakes. That's why I got the big package. Okay? I like them. Have you ever had one? Okay, going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to ask you some questions, though, when we get done, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to give you a chocolate one. Just one. We're going to do just one. Okay? And I'm going to give you a spoon. See, I opened it for you. I'll even cut it in half for you. So it help you to get it. Okay. It's very good. And you can have a spoon. Okay. And take a bite of the cupcake. And then I'd like you to tell the church or the rest of the class what you think of it. You can turn around, face them. They're not scared. That's good. Ben, is it good? Best you ever had. Okay. Addie? I think it's good. You think it's good? Jemima? It's good. That is a majority. Everybody thinks it's good. Okay. Now, you know, somebody made that cupcake. It was supposed to be Aunt Lynn, but Uncle Greg shared the changed the schedule yesterday. So anyway, we got somebody made that, and they used a recipe. You know what a recipe is? Tells you what? Instructions. How much of this and how much of that, right? Okay, so we have these ingredients that we use to make cupcakes. Okay, what about... Well, one thing we would use would be a little water, right? I'm just giving you a little bit for the sake of time. Okay, go ahead and taste the water. This is 110% pure, unadulterated Poland Spring water. Come right out of... Is it okay, Jemima? What do you think of it? It's good? Did it quench your thirst a little bit after having the cupcake? Did it feel good? It did? You liked it? Addie? Good? A little refreshing? Okay. Boy? It's okay? Water's good? Okay. One ingredient? Okay. Keep your glasses. Okay. Keep your glasses. I want you to taste another ingredient. Okay. Just going to give you a little bit for sake of time. Okay. Okay, so go ahead and taste this ingredient and tell me what you think. You can fit. Okay, Jemima, how you like that? What is it? Well, it's pure vegetable oil. Pretty good. Just pretty good. Now, you said the cupcake was good. But this is just pretty good. Pretty, oh, same, okay. Addie, what'd you think of that? You don't like it that much. What does it taste like? Ben? You gotta finish it. I gave it. I was just teasing. You really did.
It was repulsive.
Repulsive. Repulsive. Pretty good. Didn't like it. Okay, very good. Now let's see here. What about? I'm gonna get. What about? Well, we don't have to waste that time with the sprinkles. Would those be good? Who doesn't like sprinkles? Okay. We're gonna let that go. Okay. And now what I'm gonna do is have you take your spoon. Okay. You can take your spoon. Just take a little bit of that. Okay, and taste that. Okay, and taste that. Taste that. Say, volunteering is not for the weak. Go for it, boys. You don't like that? This? It's in this wonderful tasting. It's in this wonderful tasting cupcake. It's baking soda. Baking soda has healthy properties. It's really good. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me see here. No. It's very much too late. Committed. Okay. Now the little taste of this. You can take more if you want. Take a little bit of that. We're following strict COVID guidelines here, I'm sure. But... what's that taste like? Flour? What's it feel like in your mouth? Sticky. Mixes with your saliva and makes kind of a goo. Hmm? Flavor? Deep, rich chocolate flavor? Oh, no. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then maybe we should add a little chocolate. Everybody likes chocolate, right? I'd take a lot of chocolate. I'd take a lot of chocolate. Chocolate's good. Oh, Benny, that's kind of... there you go. Man up. Don't like that? What about an egg? You want some of that? I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you do that because, well, I don't want you to get sick. It's purely organic. It's very good. Okay, I have one more. One more. Be brave. Yeah. That's better. All right. I appreciate you volunteering. Now, we'll talk about the ingredients. And we'll talk about the recipes. If you want to put your cups here, you can. And you want some more water? Yeah, okay. I'll spring for a new cup. There you go, right there. You guys each take one, pass them out. I'll give you more this time, okay? I'll give you a whole glass. Yeah. Man, I don't know why I'm... I think that bottle's shaking a lot for some reason. I don't know why. Tastes better? Does that feel like a cupcake in your belly now? It doesn't? Okay. I appreciate you guys being willing to volunteer, be a guinea pig, and I know some of those things were pretty bitter, wasn't it? Tasted kind of yucky, didn't it? Yeah. But did you know that every one of those, the baking soda, and I know you didn't taste that, but the egg and the cocoa, by the way, that's unsweetened cocoa, right? And the flour, and the sprinkles, and the oil, and the water, all those ingredients are used to make a cupcake. And you said the cupcake was very good, right? But the ingredients were not, were they? Not all of them. Okay, we'll talk about that. You can put your cups right here if you want to. If you want more water, you can have it. Mouth rinsed out, feel good. If you want another bite of cupcake, you can do that. And those cupcakes will be downstairs, and you can have them. Mm-hmm. That's a little more like it, huh, Jemima? Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. You can go ahead and be seated. I'd like you to turn and remember what you just witnessed and turn in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Actually, we've been through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, here just a little bit ago. Been giving some thought to this passage because, to be quite frankly, honest, I'm struggling with a particular issue in my life right now, and it's not easy, and I'm having a struggle with it on how I can best help my wife with something. And you have a lot of questions that come about, and you think about a lot of things. And I got to thinking about this passage, and the illustration was not my idea, not new to me. I tripped across it, and I can't remember. It was in something. Somebody suggested it anyway. I'm trying to think. Doesn't matter. But Romans chapter 8, I'm reminded in Romans chapter 7, Paul gives a very good explanation of the battle that we struggle with when we think about our spirit and our flesh. When we think about our life and our desire to be faithful, our desire to trust God in all things, to trust God with our life. I've often thought and used this expression, we have trusted Christ with our eternal life. How come I have so much struggle trusting Him with my everyday living? You know, that's an honest and a valid question. And it brings in a lot of thought from a lot of areas. But this is written to Christians. I know that because I look at verse 1 in chapter 8, and it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's written to Christians. I know that because if you're in Christ, you can't be in Christ if you haven't put your faith in Him. It's all about Him. Living for Christ. I know that these people are living for Christ because, striving to at least, because they say, who walk not after the flesh. They're not walking after the flesh. Paul is addressing people who are striving to live what we would call the Christian life. And then he says, who walk not but after the Spirit. You know, we're talking about people who are spirit led. They're being led by the Spirit. So we're talking to Christians, living for Christ, trying to be Spirit-led, and follow His promptings, and it's very clear. And then he continues on for the next few verses, giving a good discussion and information about this battle that we all have, that we all face. And the passage is describing that battle of the world's influence and the Spirit's leading in the life of a Christian. It's pretty thought-provoking. You think of battling the flesh. What do you think of, young people, when you think of battling? Let me put it this way. Your behavior in the world that would be considered sinful. Any ideas what some of those might be? Gail? A sinful behavior, a naughty behavior. What could you do today that would be naughty if you chose to? Steal something, yeah? What is stealing? What is stealing? Addie? That's right. That doesn't belong to you, right? That's right. Very good. Something else? Ben? Disobeying mom and dad? Somebody else maybe that you should be listening to? Teacher or whatever? Absolutely, disobeying. What if the maker of that cupcake that you said tasted so good disobeyed the recipe? Ben? It wouldn't taste the same. You know, there's an age-old story in my family that my brother loves to tell, and my wife is going to hit me when I get home because I tell it now. But we used to have to take turns staying home and babysitting my grandmother. And I would stay home during Sunday school sometimes. My brother would come to Sunday school. And then we would swap and like this. Well, anyway, when my wife had made some biscuits the night before, and we weren't married then, but she was over with my mother and stuff. And what anyway, she made biscuits the night before, and we they weren't good. You see this oil right here? Instead of lard or Crisco, shortening, she used this because my mother didn't have apparently some of the other stuff. So she cheated the recipe. She disobeyed the recipe. And those biscuits tasted terrible. I couldn't eat them. So I told a little lie. It was only a little one. And she weren't looking when I told it. I said, "No, honey, they're fine," as I was throwing it into the wood stove. I threw that biscuit into the wood stove. There was a hot fire going. And the next morning, we made the switch. My brother and I made the switch, and Lynn come to pick me up. And we were on our way to church, pulling out of the driveway, and he come running out of the house. He said, Greg, look at this. They won't even burn." And he held up this biscuit, which looked almost like a charcoal and a briquette. He still loves to tell that story, and obviously I do too. But she disobeyed the recipe. The biscuits were terrible. You picture this wonderful biscuit you're going to enjoy, and then it's disappointing. Disappointing. Talk more about that in a minute. But what about another bad behavior? Anyone else? Karis? What could you do today that would be naughty if you chose to? Yeah, if you disobey mommy and daddy. Yeah. Jemima? Oh, yeah, there you go. Being mean to somebody. You know, I would, that's right. When we're mean to somebody else, what's that? You know, we're kind of snobbish, aren't we? Thinking we're better than somebody else. You know, you have to think you're better than somebody else, be mean to them. Or you're just plain cruel. Not showing any love of Christ, right? Yeah, Ed? What? Yes, calling people names. Doesn't feel good, does it? Be called names. Yeah. I've been called things before. I didn't even know what they mean. At the time, I got the indication, though, it wasn't good. You know, you just, it doesn't feel good, though, does it, to be called names? Anything else? Telling a lie. Oh, boy. That's right. Bible's got a lot to say about liars, doesn't it? Yeah. Ben? Cheating. Oh, yeah. That's always a temptation, isn't it, when you've not studied for a test and you don't know the answer? Yeah, it's a temptation. We can't do it, can we? Yeah. What about being sneaky? Hiding wrong behavior. Maybe doing something wrong and then pretending you're not doing it. You know, that's a sneaky thing. What about being angry? Lynn thinks I was angry yesterday. I wasn't angry. I was trying to make a point. There's a difference. I like to tell people that I never complain. I only state facts. It's easy to get angry, isn't it? It's very easy to get angry. We need to be careful about that. Look at the passage as we go on down through here, though. Paul is describing this battle that we struggle. We struggle with all these things. It's tempting, isn't it? To lie, cheat, steal, whatever, disobey mom, dad, whatever. Verse 26, though, says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." This is going to lead into the next section of the chapter as well. We're not going to go there today, but basically this is a misunderstood passage many times. But it's just misunderstood because we usually try to make something to suit themselves or something to feel good, or for whatever motivation, and it's really pretty easy. It's really pretty easy to understand. Bible says that likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know what is an infirmity? Okay, it can be that. An infirmity is, we normally think of it of as a sickness, a weakness, a disease, right? You get sick, you know, you have an infirmity. Well, in this passage, it can mean that, but it also has a deeper meaning. And it simply means morally frail. It means morally frail. You know, it kind of goes back to that idea that we have that sin nature. We have a sin nature. We're born in sin. We're sinners. We know that. We need to think about that for a moment. Infirmities. "For we know not what we should pray as we ought." You know, even when we pray, God is so holy that we pray to him. We pray in faith, believing, And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know what we should say. It doesn't matter how academic, how intelligent our prayer is. We're coming before a holy God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede on our behalf. And it says here something very interesting. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In my flesh, I wouldn't even understand that conversation. That conversation that's taken place between God the Father, God the Spirit. It's powerful to think about and hard to describe and to put into words, but you just imagine a conversation that you can't even understand. Yet you are going to be the beneficiary. That is, you're the one who's going to get the benefit of that conversation. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I have a hard time with that too. It's very hard time understanding it, hard time trying to describe it right now, but it's very simple in my mind to grasp. Think about that. He that searcheth the hearts. Who's that? Who searches your heart? Jesus. God. That's right. Bible says that our heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Caleb, you don't know my heart. I don't know yours. I could get some indication if I watched you long enough. You could get some indication about me if you watched me long enough. But I don't know it. I don't know why you wore that blue shirt today. Probably just to aggravate me. And I'd be wrong, wouldn't I? You wore it for some other reason. Right? But God knows. It says that he searches the heart and look at that next word. And knoweth. Knoweth. He knows something else. Look at this. Specifically, he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Can you imagine the position that he's in? He searches your heart. And he knows. Now he knows you're his. We've already settled that, right? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God, led by the Spirit. He already knows what the Spirit has tried to tell you, what the Spirit has tried to prompt you to do. He knows what he wants for an end result, and yet he knows your heart. He knows your heart. And then he knows something else. It says, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God knows what his will is for your life. God knows what the Spirit of God is trying to prompt you to so that you can know what God's will is for your life. And yet I'm reminded, he knows my heart. He knows my heart. That's an interesting conversation at the throne of God. It's just something to ponder, I guess, is what I'm suggesting. Something to think about. The next time we make a decision, the next time we decide to act, the next time we decide to go, do any of those things, it's interesting to think about that interceding that's taking place. I was texting with a young man this morning. He's making trying to make a tough decision, he and his family, They're having a struggle as to what that decision's going to be. We need to ponder these things. Think about it. God searches and knows the hearts. He knows the thoughts and the intents. Because Then we have Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That just means his plan. God's got a plan. Why was Greg Pease born in Stratton? Why does he live in Stratton today? I believe it's part of God's plan, and I don't know all of it. Haven't decided what all the reasons are yet, but all things. That could be your afflictions, your sicknesses, your illnesses. Could be your troubles, your hurts. You ever been playing outdoors, fallen down, and had a scunned knee? Am I the only one that ever done that? You ever skin your knee? Karis? You never did. You're going to. I'm sorry, honey, but someday you're going to. Okay? It's going to hurt. It's going to burn. It's not going to feel good. It's just going to be something you don't want to do. But it's probably going to happen. Why? I don't know. God knows. God knows all things, afflictions, trials, persecutions. Maybe somebody's picking on you at school or your brother or your sister. Believe me, I know sisters can pick on little boys. I am all very well aware of that. Boys don't pick on sisters, though, do we? Interesting conversation. Okay. All things are literally what it says. All things. Some good, some not so good. Okay, my volunteers, again. Was the chocolate good? This one not so good, I don't think. Okay, what about the baking soda? Was that good? No. The flour? No, in and of itself, it's not bad, but by itself, it doesn't taste good, does it? Makes that ooey goo in your mouth. Yeah. The sugar was sweet, enjoyable. Sugar is good. Oh, I love sugar. I like anything sweet. I really like anything, almost. Okay. My idea is if it's a pie and you can't make up your mind which one to have a piece of each. That's like the pretty good place to be. Then you know you can't make a wrong decision, right? But all things, some of the things, the events, the circumstances, the people that come in your life are all for a purpose. And we may not even understand what that purpose is right now. Why did I meet so-and-so on a particular day at a particular time? Why did I end up happen to have a conversation with this person? We don't know. We don't know. We know that God put them in our path. There are many circumstances and people and things that happen to us and that we meet and that we know. And at the end of the day, it's all this long, continued set of events that, yet they're among the means that God is using to refine us, to teach us, and basically to provide for our best welfare, to take the best care of us. It's God taking the best care of us. That by itself, that particular event, maybe somebody treated me meanly. Maybe somebody lied about me. Maybe somebody stole from me. Yet God has allowed that in my life to teach me, to strengthen me, to make me what he wants to be. You see, it's more, in that sense, it's more about me. It's more about my response to God, my response to the all things, and less about the one that's actually doing the offending. They're gonna receive their own. That's another subject. But these all things happen for a reason. And it's very important that we understand that. That's in our best interest. Your mom and a dad making decisions about you. They're making decisions about you and for you because they have your best interest in mind. Okay. If you're not allowed to do something, mom and dad say, don't do this. It's for a very good reason, right? If they tell you to do this, it's for a very good reason. The next words in that passage, in that verse, say, work together for good. Now you think about that. You take all of these ingredients, you know, maybe the flour is the skunny, maybe the baking soda is the little girl that pushed me down the stairs. Maybe the cocoa is the little boy that was a bully or said a bad, unkind thing to you. You know, maybe the sugar is a family campfire where we're eating s'mores. You know, that's a good thing. You know, all these things work together. It's just like you said, the cupcakes tasted good. That was unanimous. Everybody agreed. All of these things that tasted bitter, dry, sour, bland, or no taste at all, or felt a funny fizzy in your mouth, sugar, that sweet, the chocolate, oh, bitter. All that put together makes a beautiful tasting cake. And who doesn't like cake? If you don't like cake, there's something wrong with you. Okay, but there's a chapter and verse for that somewhere. I just don't have it this morning. Okay, but things happening, they're cooperating together. All those things cooperate together to bring out a particular result. They mutually contribute to my good. To my good. See? They take off our affections from the world. Maybe the sinful things that we shouldn't. They kind of act like sandpaper in a sense. They just kind of smooth us and polish us. And it's a good thing. But it reminds us that we're frail. Reminds us that we do have a sin nature. It reminds us that we do struggle with that. And it reminds us that we're just here temporarily. That heaven is our final home. And right now we're going through a process. We're going through a process. They lead us to look to God for support. And we need his help. They produce a Hopefully, they will produce a subdued spirit, a humble temper, maybe a patience. Somebody says, never pray for patience. Well, but we should learn patience, and all these things will teach us patience. Maybe to be tender, maybe to be kind. This should be the experience of God's people, of his saints. When we look back on life and we can look back at the favorable times and the less favorable times. We can look back at the events when something hurt, and we can look back at the events when something was happy and great, and we can see that they all work to teach us something and to bring us to where we are. And at the end of life, they have to be able to say that it was good to be afflicted. There's some examples of that in Scripture. David, for example, in Psalms 119, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. What does that mean? things are going good. He's not sick. Nothing bad is happening. And he did what? Disobeyed God. He went his own way. But now, that is after God has afflicted him, God has reached down and caused or allowed some difficulty in his life. And then he says, but now I have kept thy word. I have kept thy word. That's a good place to be. So you would have to conclude that the affliction was, the chastisement, the whatever it was good for him, was a good thing. Jeremiah, speaking of Ephraim, bemoaning himself. Ephraim was bemoaning himself. He says, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. And then concluded, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. It's a good place to be. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about chastising. What's chastising? Chastisement? Ever been chastised, Henry? You're about to be. Ben? What's chastise? Big word. I'll put it in modern day English. Okay? You ready for this? It's a spanking. You ever had a spanking? Benny has. Henry's gonna. Jemima has. Okay. Karis? Yeah. Okay. I have. My mother used to deny it when I was older, but I got a lot of them. Titus? Had a spanking? Yeah. Yeah, we all need them, right? When we're growing up, it's what happens. If you haven't had a spanking, you're not being loved like you should. Yeah? Hebrew says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Never liked it, did we? Never liked that spanking. Doesn't feel good, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth. That means it produces, okay, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It means that that spanking has a purpose in God's plan that is going to produce the end product, the end result. To them that love God is the next. It's clearly written to Christian. To others, this affliction may not be a blessing, but to them that love God, it ends up being a blessing. If they don't love God, if you are not a child of God, those afflictions will produce a murmuring, complaining spirit, and leave you no peace. No peace. The Christian is made a better person by receiving the afflictions as they should be received. You know, thank you, Lord. I needed that. You know, it's a hard place to come to. It's a difficult it's a difficult place to get to, but it's a wonderful place to be. When we realize what he's working in our life. Sinners and ungodly people who have not trusted Christ as Savior do not have this in their life. Just get harder and harder, reject more. It says to them who are the called, those who have accepted the call have been called. God has called everybody. He says, whosoever, let him come and take of the water of life freely. We love that water. It was refreshing, right? It tasted good. But not everyone will accept that. They will not be a child of God. Christians are said to be called because God has invited them to be saved, saved from an eternal hell. And that's the truth. That's the truth, young people. God's desire, His purpose, and His plan today for sure is that you will trust Christ as your personal Savior. Put your faith in Him and only Him. And that is His plan. According to His purpose implies that He has a plan. He has a plan. Just like the recipe. The recipe is the plan. The plan is the desire is the end result. So, there are things that happen to us that we don't always understand. I want to give you two examples in Scripture to close. And that is, one is Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph, how his brothers faked his death and lied to their father and said that Joseph was dead, when in fact they sold him into slavery. They did mean things. That was a horrible thing. You would not think of doing that to your brother and sister, I hope. Okay? But then years later, after God had caused bad things to happen in Joseph's life, hurtful things to happen in Joseph's life, struggles, trials, temptations, people falsely accusing him, going through people forgetting about him, people lying to him, all of these things. And at the end, he's faced with all of his brothers, and his brothers are scared that he's going to put them to death, if you will. Joseph answers with this, and it's powerful. But as for you, speaking of his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God had a plan in Joseph's life. That when it started out, you wouldn't think it was God's plan. You would have thought it was some evil brother's plan, because that's all what it looked like. Yet it was in God's plan. God took all of that circumstance in his life and turned it into a good thing. And that's what we can do. You remember Esther? Wanted to give you ladies, you girls, young girls, a good example. Esther, she had gone through difficulty. Remember, she was a Jew and she was in difficulty, but then God raised her to a position of prominence, and then her uncle was conspired against, and Haman was going to have him killed, and they're going to kill all the Jews, and bad things were going to happen. And Haman, Esther says, then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, that's her uncle, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. God allowed all those circumstances in Mordecai's life and Esther's life to bring them to where they were so that Esther could have the say over what was going to happen to the one who was trying to lie and cheat and murder unjustly. And God puts in this young lady the power to accomplish something really great and to save the life not only of her uncle, but of a lot of Jews, a lot of people. And these are examples. Esther 8:8 says, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. She carried with her the power of putting the words and the law into the king's mouth and making it final. That's how much power she had. Wonderful things. Things are not always good. We just need to trust God and watch him do something great. And he will in the process of time. All right. Any questions? Any comments? Who, Mike?
I got a good example of what things were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
Let's have break. So went down in the heat of donuts.
No. Oh. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's good. That's another good example. Okay. Think on those things. Ponder those a little bit. Okay. All things. Okay. That's what the Bible says. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. And I'm going to ask Kirk, would you please close in prayer?